The last 10 meters of the turbolift pylon leading to the command dreadnought were crushed and twisted, as if that part of the pylon had been hit with a powerful impact. The final 2 meters of that, in addition, were blocked by what seemed to be the remains of a car that had been caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. Even with lightsabers, it was a delicate task to cut enough of it away to get through. "Finally," Mara said, as she sliced through one last section of car wall to reveal the tube doors, as mangled and distorted as the tube itself. "Maybe we should have gone aft and tried the pylon back there."
"I doubt it would have been any faster," Luke said. "Don't forget all the debris we had to wade through when we first came in up on D4. Thrawn probably made even more of a mess of the turbo laser and shield sections on this one."
"I suppose." With deft flicks of her lightsaber, Mara carved an opening through the door.
"Shall we?"
It wasn't as bad as Luke had expected, at least as far as basic travel difficulties were concerned. The bulkheads and floors were horrendously crumpled and twisted, but there was relatively little actual debris lying around to contend with. The debris itself wasn't the tough part. The tough part was the bodies. Not really bodies, of course. At least, not the sort Luke had seen in the aftermath of the many battles he'd been through in his lifetime. After 5 decades, there was little left but piles of bones and scraps of clothing to show where someone had fallen.
"You can see where the hull's been repaired," Mara commented, as they picked their way forward toward the command deck. "See the weld marks?"
Luke looked where she was pointing her glow rod. The marks were very professional, precisely following the jagged hull cracks.
"Repair droids?"
"Definitely," Mara agreed. The damage seemed to increase as they moved forward. So did the number of bones. Mara gestured toward an upside-down arch ahead of them, a doorway partially blocked by a half-closed blast door.
"Looks like we're getting near the end of the line."
"I think you're right." Slipping through the opening, Luke looked around. It was a large room with a lot of scattered chairs and broken consoles that had once apparently been lined up in neat rows, all of it covered with the same thick layer of dust that existed everywhere down here. "Definitely the monitor anteroom," he identified it as Mara joined him. "That would put the bridge just ahead, through that other archway in the middle of the far wall," Luke said, ducking under a section of collapsed deck and stepping over to the archway and the warped metal door blocking it. Igniting his lightsaber, he sliced it open. It was indeed the bridge, very much as he remembered from his brief time aboard the Katana some 13 years before. Except, of course, that this particular bridge was littered with bones and broken consoles and ankle-deep in powdery dust.
"Now that's impressive," Mara said. "I don't think I've ever even heard of a ship being crushed this badly, let alone seen it. They must have been really scorching space when they hit."
There was something glinting dully over there amid the shards of the shattered observation bubble. Something that didn't seem to fit with the rest of the wreckage they'd seen.
"Yes," Luke said, squatting down among the transparent steel shards.
There it was. Gingerly, he reached into the debris and got a grip on it. He froze.
Not it. Them.
There were two objects buried in the rubble, both archaic in design and yet instantly recognizable, as they lay among two distinct sets of broken bones. Mara picked up instantly on his emotional reaction.
"What is it?"
she asked, abandoning her survey and coming to his side.
"Exhibit one," Luke said, lifting up a dented cylinder that could only be a lightsaber.
"And," he added quietly, holding up a tarnished, dented hand weapon.
"Exhibit two."
Mara inhaled sharply.
"Is that what I think it is?"
"I think so," Luke told her. "It's a few decades out of date, but the style is unmistakable.
It's a Chiss Cherrick."
For a moment, neither of them spoke.
"So what's it doing here?" Luke asked.
"Drask told us Thrawn never sent a landing party aboard."
"Not much we can tell from the skeleton," Mara commented, squatting down and gently touching one of the bones the Cherrick had been lying beside.
"Tell me, Mara, you spent a lot of time talking to the Chiss on the trip here.
Did any of them ever say they'd actually seen any of the Vagari? Or seen hollows of a Vagari? Or even heard a description of one? Mara frowned. No, she said. Are you going anywhere special with this? The Chiss were at outbound flight, Luke said. According to Bersh and Formby, so were the Vagari. What if they were, in fact, the same people? Mara blinked. Are you suggesting the Chiss are the Vagari? Why not? Luke asked. I find it oddly suspicious that when outbound flight disappeared, so did the Vagari. Mara murmured. Maybe we should sit Formby down in a quiet corner somewhere when we get back to the rest of the group. It's about time he was straight with us about what's going on. It's well past time, Luke said. Mara gestured to the dusty weapons in his hands. Either of those still work? I don't know. Aiming at an empty spot across the room, Luke squeezed the Cherrick's firing stud. Nothing happened. Dead as Honegger, he said. Pointing the lightsaber away from him, he touched the activator. The weapon's snap hiss sounded weak and rather asthmatic, but the green blade that blazed out appeared functional enough. Whoever built this built it to last, he commented, closing it down and peering more closely at it. See this? Looks like some kind of gem. You're right, Mara said. An amethyst, I think. I'll take your word for it, Luke said. Come on, let's finish and get back upstairs. That talk with Formby is starting to sound more and more interesting.